have called the conference HR and the Social World because, well, because we do think that social media and the socialisation of the workplace are two of the biggest changes underway in HR and business at the moment anyway. And because I think the biggest thing is because we sort of put the event together using social media. You know, because none of us are conference professionals, so we tweet about it, we blog about it, and that's the way that most people here get to hear about the event.
Yeah.
And therefore, because the people who are coming are also users of social media, there's a sort of a common interest to talk about that.
So if you're not using social media, you're missing out then, aren't you? On this, at least, potentially.
We have got people here who are not users of social media.
Okay.
Because
they've heard it through word of mouth.
Yeah, yes. The traditional publications and word of mouth.
True, yeah.
And, you know, I'd say we've got about 65 people here, probably about 10 to 20 of those, I would say, are not on Twitter, for example.
Right. Interesting.
And, you know, I don't think they're missing out on the experience because of that. I mean, certainly they can see what everybody else is tweeting because we have everybody's tweets up on a display screen. And it probably just means that they're contributing to the conversation more face-to-face rather than which a lot of us are doing, which is trying to do that face-to-face and sort of tweeting at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks very much, John. I think they're about to start.
Yeah, I'm Gareth Jones, and one of the co-founders of Connecting HR.
Yeah, we're just talking about this morning, what themes have emerged, and for you, the things, what you've been hearing, what do you think, you know, one or two big themes that seem to have come out?
I would say two or three of the key things that have come out for me from the conversation I've heard are the performance management side of managing people and how we go about running annual appraisals and whether we should, and actually should we maybe deconstruct the performance management and actually let's get back to having proper conversations with individuals as opposed to on a daily basis, as opposed to trying to save it all up and manage it. I thought it was very interesting that 360 degree reviews aren't used in performance management very often. That was a quite strong thing that came out for me. I think the issue is that it seems that 360 isn't adopted very much because it means the manager who's doing the appraisal actually gets feedback as well. And I think there's a bit of scariness in there. I think people are, you know, performance appraisal, a lot of organisations, it's a one-way thing from your leader to you and not the other way around, per se. So that, I think, was one key theme. We talked about leadership and how general leadership, commercial leadership, and how whether a CEO should spend time in HR. And I think we concluded, actually, it would be much more relevant if HR people spent more time in the business and had commercial skills. And then if they did spend time in the business and got commercial skills, then maybe more HR people would make it through to CEO roles because they've got broader skills than just HR. That was the second thing. And the third theme that I've got from just anecdotal conversation has been around how positive social media can deliver, some positive experience can deliver for the people like here, and how it's actually driving a lot of face-to-face interaction. And it's not just about being online, being on your computer and tweeting on your phone.
No, well, this is an example
absolutely.
Of that, isn't it? Because we're here because of social media.
Indeed. And I said to somebody at lunch, my life has become, in the last 12 months, 18 months, I'm much more interactive as an individual on a face-to-face basis. And all of those interactions, pretty much, or the increase, has been driven by social media. I'm meeting more people because of my connections on Twitter and events like this.
Well, in the discussion that I was listening to, people saying that social media was something which companies couldn't really control. They had to sort of develop a policy where they kind of, I think Coca-Cola was the example given, where you just kind of sort of say, well, just use your common sense, guys, and get on with it.
Yeah.
It's not like previous technology, phones or email or whatever. It's something which you have to sort of allow it to grow and develop on its own.
You have to. I don't think a lot of organisations are scared of it, and I think part of the challenge is that for the first time in a long time, the technology isn't owned by the company. It's external. We don't rely on IT to set us up and set permissions. You know, social media relies on a technology platform that actually is my choice as the individual.
and it's a conversation that's going on that the company can't control. And I think those two things, and they can't ignore, actually. So they can't control the technology, and they can't ignore the conversation. And those two things are really scary for organisations, I think. But if you take that Coca-Cola example and just sit back and let it happen, it will even itself out. There is no threat here. In my mind, it's all positive.
The benefits perhaps will outweigh the risks.
Yeah, I think if we can come to terms with bringing that, embracing social media or social connecting, whatever you want to call it, internally within an organisation, then you've got, that's where the game changer is. That's where the real business benefit lies. But we're a long way from that right now.
Thanks, Gary.